Praise the O God. 732. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Now please turn to number 685. 685. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence, keep silence, keep silence before him.
Let's pray. Dear God, please let us have a good rest of the day and week. Please be with the troops and all the sick. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 5, the New King James Version. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have been, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Please sing your songbooks to 886. Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. 886. And we'll be singing the first, second, third, and the last verse. If you have it, let's see. Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, oh, sing Hallelujah. Sing Hallelujah. Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is living in his church. Jesus is living in his church. Jesus is living. Jesus is living, Jesus is living in his church. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
And go to the next page, 888. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite as one to praise him all day long. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. The
scripture I will be reading is Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Good evening. Today is October 31st, and it's always been one of my favorite days. Halloween. For one day out of the whole year, you get to dress up as somebody else for a few days or night. Tonight, I would like to talk to you about Halloween, about my favorite part of Halloween, which is the scary movies. The scary movies are more sinister on Halloween. They're more dark. They're just so much better on Halloween. You can just... And they are just the best. My lesson tonight is how to survive a scary movie. My first topic is what usually happens in a scary movie. The main character is usually walking along, having a good day, you know. And then he sees something. Something usually that you shouldn't see, something that's different, out of the ordinary. Something that may have been there for a while. And I'm going to use a haunted house for this example. He sees a haunted house, and he gets curious. He wants to know what's in that haunted house. He wants to know all the secrets that lie within this. And so the main character, for some odd reason, goes into the haunted house. Maybe he didn't hear the music we heard when it was ominous and stuff, but he wants to go in the house. I wanted to relate this to temptation. Temptation is something every one of us go through on a daily basis. We all see temptation. We all hear about temptation. Some of us acknowledge it, and some of us, it happens too. But temptation is like this house. Going into the house is putting yourself in a spot of temptation. We need to know not to go in this house. I'd like you, if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13. No temptation has overcome you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. My second point for the evening is that the main character of this horror film or scary movie may not know that they're in a haunted house. They may wander into some place, they may get somewhere they're not supposed to be and not even know about it. And once in this haunted house, for some reason, they want to open every kitchen cabinet, every door, they just want to examine this place until they reach the basement. And we all know what's going to happen. They're going to open the door all slow, and then that's when it pops out. You gotta think, what is this person thinking? Like, if I found myself in a haunted house with this, like, ominous theme, the first thing I'd be doing is making an exit. Our lives are like this scenario in that when we're in a bad situation, we need to be turning around and getting out of it. Jesus says it best when he's talking about the prodigal son, and that, if you would, turn with me to Luke 15. And what's happened so far is that we're going to be reading verses 16 through 20. And this is after the prodigal son has received his inheritance from his father. He's went and he spent all of it, his fortune. And now he's broke and alone and wishing that he could return back to his father. And it reads, "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." This is like us when we go astray or find ourselves in somewhere we're not supposed to be. As long as we're willing to turn around and repent, God will always be there to welcome us.
My third point is also during the horror movie, the character at some point is alone and scared. You see this person, and he's doing all these stunts and acrobats. And
all these things you wouldn't even think of even trying to do. And you gotta be like, wow, this dude has some courage. So you wonder, where do they get all this courage? We as Christians need to have courage. Because without courage, then we are alone. There is no obstacle big enough or strong enough that we can't overcome as long as we have God. If we keep this fact in mind, courage will never leave us. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. I had Michael Collins read this a few minutes ago because I thought it was a very important verse. It's always been one of my favorite. And it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord the God, He is the one that goes before you, and He will not leave you nor forsake you." Our God is always with us, and we need to make sure we know that, and we are able to. Yeah, we need to know that. Point number 4 is that there always seems to be a moment in the movie when the character is safe. He's just sitting by the fire, singing campfire songs, and he lets his guard down. And then at this point, that's when the monster comes out. We as Christians always need to keep our guard up. We should always be prepared. It doesn't matter if our school life is going great, your work rate's going, you got a raise in your new job, you got a new job. We need to always have our guard up. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." If we are not ready and on guard when the devil comes, we may not be prepared to fend him off. My 5th point is, for the whole movie, the main character is always being chased or stalked by this one thing. And then eventually there's one big chase scene. And you gotta wonder, where's this dude get the energy to run like this? I mean, I got wore up walking up these stairs right here. I don't know how he does it. In this case, if you stop running or you lose hope about whether you're going to make it or not, you're not going to make it. We as Christians can't stop running the good race. We need to stay and finish the race. We need to look forward to the goal and know that heaven is our victory. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, if you do not lose heart, you shall reap." 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." My 6th point is the last one. And in all scary movies, it comes down to the direct battle between the main character and the bad guy. The main character always is stronger and better than the one guy. Though the chances are slim that the character is going to beat the bad guy and triumph over him, he always seems to find a way at the last minute. Just one little thing that happens. And, like, it's not possible how he does it. It never happens in real life. If you were reversing something stronger than you, then you wouldn't win. But God is with us, and with Him all things are possible. Another thing is, sometimes we as Christians fight monsters or the devil head on. But unlike the characters in the movie, we have our brethren here to help us. If we do fall from this, then we have someone there that can pick us up. I think Abraham Lincoln says it best when he says, "Together we stand, divided we fall." 1 Corinthians 12:12, if you would turn with me there. This is when they're talking about how we are all of the same body. It says, "For as the body is one, so are the members. But all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Together we are not the body, but all of us together we form one. And with this we have to rely on each other to be there for us. Also, in Ephesians 6:11, we need to be armed and ready. All of us need to be able to stand against the devil and his temptations. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." If we relate our lives to a scary movie, then we can see there's a whole lot more in common than when you just think about it. The only problem with this is that our struggle with the devil is real. It is a constant battle that never ends throughout our whole life. But if we do good and we do see it to the end and we do good, we will have our victory in heaven. Thank you. Please turn in your songbooks to number
5. Troubled, you believe in God, believe in also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I am, I go, you know, and the way you know.
Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Please.
Upon you. Good afternoon. I'd like to start off this presentation with a question. How many people here have a GPS? Please raise your hand. Okay. For those who do not know what a GPS is, GPS stands for Global Positioning System. It can get you anywhere you want to go in a timely fashion. It gives you lists of rest stops and restaurants you might want to go to in the area. In reference to in regards to a GPS, this reminds me of two stories. Is when we didn't use a GPS and when we did. The first one is when we did. We were with the Getz family. We were going to the mountains inside Virginia, and we used GPS to go everywhere. We went to the Luray Caverns. We went to go see a NASCAR racetrack, and we even used the GPS to go to a Krispy Kreme donut shop. And turns out the hot sign was on, so we got inside there and got some hot donuts while we were at it. And the other time is when we didn't use one. We were coming back from Atlanta from the last Leaders Convention, and Mom and Dad wanted to go get some lunch before we hit the road. Dad wanted barbecue, but Mom wanted Mexican. So they figured out a way how they can both get what they wanted. The places where they were located were right beside each other in the same complex. They didn't use a map, and they wanted to go based off their own memory. Turns out that didn't work out for the best, because we almost ended up in Tennessee. But even though I have these two stories, the story with the GPS was more efficient in getting us where we wanted, it is still a man-made device. And since the GPS was made by a man, and man is imperfect, the GPS is going to fail too, since it was made by a man. But God has GPS, but unlike man-made GPSs, his GPS will never fail. GPS stands for God's Plan of Salvation. And what can God's GPS do? It can transform you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about that. And the scripture reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So you can become a new creation. And it can also be used to correct you. That can be found inside 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we know that the scriptures can be used to correct us as well. We are human and we are going to go off the path, but the scriptures here can get us back on the path and keep us on the path. And also, God's GPS can also make heaven your new home. Even though the Bible is still a number one bestseller out of the whole entire world, and it still has God's GPS inside of there, people still want to deviate from that and go their own way and not God's way. This reminds me of a football team. A football team is given a playbook, and within these playbooks, it has plays. And sometimes with those plays, you're going to have good execution of it, and sometimes you're not. Sometimes a cause for a bad play could be because someone deviated from their assignment. And the consequences for deviating from that assignment is a loss of yardage, an injury, or even the loss of a game itself. Now, how does this relate to real life? Well, the playbook is like the Bible. And the bad execution is when someone deviates from the Bible. And in 1 Corinthians 4:6, it talks about how we should not deviate from the Bible. And the scripture reads, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us to not think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." So now we know that we should not think beyond the scripture. And then the bad consequences of going beyond the scripture can be found inside Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19. For I testify to everyone who hears this word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written inside this book. And if anyone takes away from the word of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And now we come to what God's GPS really is. It's his plan of salvation and how to obey it, and how to obey the gospel. First, you have to hear. What do you have to hear? You have to hear the one gospel. Jesus, the truth about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But we must be aware of false teachers. That, and he talks about that inside 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So we know that there are going to be people who are going to be out there teaching us a false doctrine, and we know that to be false. Because they're not teaching the gospel, they are only teaching you religious gossip instead of the gospel. And then, second step, what you have to do, you have to believe. That can be found inside Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then you must repent. That can be found inside Luke 13, verse 3. And the scripture reads, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then you must confess. Acts 8, verses 36 to 37. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, there is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe that with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And then you must be baptized. That can be found inside Acts 2:38. And the scripture reads, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" We need to teach the gospel the way the apostles taught it. We need to teach the truth, not separating Jesus from his church. Let's see what Philip has to say inside Acts 8:12. But when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And another example can be inside Acts 28, verses 30 to 31. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, which is the church, and teaching the things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. God's GPS is the only GPS we need to get to heaven. But there are some people, people must make a choice between following the world's GPS and God's GPS. And there are some people who want to sit there and wait, and they just sit there and watch time expire. This actually reminds me of an old football game I once played. We were inside the fourth quarter, 5 seconds left of the game at the 10-yard line. And 5 seconds is not a lot of time. The ball is snapped. Our quarterback gets the ball, and the wide receiver is inside the end zone. He sees the man, but he doesn't throw it. He sat there and thought, and the time expired. He didn't even notice it. And the game ended with the ball in his hands. And that's just like when Jesus is coming back. We don't know. I'm sorry. Yes, tomorrow is not promised. We were really close to making that touchdown, but we never made it. Let's hope that is not you when Jesus comes back. Don't delay. Today you can be a part of Jesus' church. If you want to become a Christian, water's been prepared ready, but the only question is, are you ready? If you are in need of prayers, that we will pray for you, please come forward as we stand and as we sing the invitation songs.